people who take care of the kids, because he and Shelby account for about half of them. At least it seems like they're half of them. We like active kids, you know. I like active people too. Don't y'all hate being bored? I mean, does anybody besides me hate being bored? I hate boredom. It is like the devil in my life. And listen, guys, without you, this is about you. Grace Fellowship has life because you're here. You bring life. You know, Wednesday night at 6, when we have family night, it's special because of the people who come. And if you don't bring your part, we miss it. And so I just want to encourage you. You know, boredom is, I can't hardly stand it. I want to participate. I never watch sports on TV. Even when I was a kid, in high school, whatever, I played sports 90% of my time, but I never watched it because I want to play. Don't y'all want to play? You do. I mean, right, you do. You don't even know you do, but you do. You do. You don't want to sit and watch somebody all the time. It's, you know, it's just a slow way to die, watching. No, participate. Bring your part. And I'm telling you, this year, I've had a burden, and this is what I'm talking about today, to me, is the most important thing that I've ever talked about. For years, we've been like, what's our vision for Grace Fellowship? Why are we here? And we've gone, and we've been here for 30 years. So like, it's like 1 year for each person here almost, right? And we've had, the whole time, we've had vision, we've had purpose, but the truth is, I never was able to articulate it. I never was able to put it into words, really. What is going on? But I'll tell you today, if you know me at all, you know that my whole life is based on Scripture. The Bible is so important to me. And I may not act like it all the time, but it is. And I just know the Bible isn't God. The Bible isn't the Holy Spirit, and it's not Jesus. We don't worship Scripture. It's given to us by God through the Holy Spirit, but it's not something we worship. And so some people think because I don't worship the Bible, like I don't even carry a Bible with me. I use my computer, which has, I think, 700 Bibles in it, at least. I don't even know. I haven't read them all. There are lots of them in there. But guys, it's like this. 43 years ago this year, I was 24 years old and I gave my life to God. And when I did, something in Scripture grabbed me. Because I already knew it was true. I already knew it was true that nothing in this world was really ever going to satisfy me. Nothing in this world was ever going to scratch the itch that I had in my heart. Was going to meet the need for love and acceptance and purpose and destiny that was in my heart. Nothing in this world was going to do it. Nothing physical, nothing emotional. I remember one time I was so crazy. I actually ran for it was in high school. I was over it by then. I remember one time in high school, I ran for a political office in high school. I was a junior and the junior class president was like the big dog. So I said, well, shoot, I'll give politics a try. And so I ran for class president and became class president, and it was the worst year of my life. People kept asking things from me and wanting things from me, and I'm like, I don't care where we get our senior rings from. I don't care what the prom looks like. I'm not a politician. Tried it. It doesn't float my boat. So I'm stuck at 24 years old. I always thought, and so maybe you do too, I thought money would float my boat. I thought money would provide the power to get me what would make me happy and get me a reason to wake up every day. I really did. I thought stuff, you know, because what does money do? It brings stuff. Money also brings respect. It brings recognition. It brings all this junk in your life. And I thought that would do it. I thought the right car, the right this, the right that, enough money, enough businesses. I remember I told somebody the other day, you know what my goal was when I was actually a sophomore in high school? My goal was to be $1 million in debt. Now, this was 1974. because I knew money enough to know that banks wouldn't loan you $1 million unless you were worth $1 million. Is that not the craziest thing in the world? And by the time I'm 24, I found out that money, business, sports, prestige, being somebody, none of that made me happy. Gosh, I must have been the neediest person in Cabot, Arkansas. I had everything you think you would need that would make you happy, and I wasn't happy. And I was like, God? Actually, I wasn't like that. God wasn't enough a part of my life that I would have said God. I just went to myself, and I'm like, okay, have I ever been happy? You know? I mean, I had joy, not joy, I don't know what you call that. You know when you win a game or you win any contest, you get this little adrenaline thing in your mind, you get this little drug fix? I'd experienced that thousands of times. I mean, I was addicted to winning. Winning. Because winning would give me that little burst of drugs and chemicals. And I was like, but that wasn't working anymore. And I'm like, what? Have I ever been happy? And then I remembered something that happened. Oh, it's a little emotional. It happened to me when I was 14. I actually had an encounter with God. Like I felt something. He was real. And I was like, but then I walked away from him for 10 years. So 14 years old, I have this thing with the Holy Spirit. It was real, the most real thing I've ever experienced, and I walked away and went back to what I was doing, which wasn't coming out good. And then I'm like, okay, Lord, what is it? And I'm going to share this verse with you. I realized that only with God was it ever going to be okay. I guess God opened my eyes and showed me the way. It's funny that the early Christians were called followers of the way, because there's a way. There's a way that happiness comes. There's a way that joy comes. There's a way that peace comes. There's a way that community comes. There's a way that everything we just sang about happens. It's real. You see, it wasn't enough for me to hear about it. I had to experience it. And so I went and I gave my life back to God and said, God, I don't care. And some of you have this too. You have this, guys. I know you do. We were singing a song, and I'm like, this is whatever. You have this. Because I do this. Y'all saw all the, they're not all out of here, but y'all saw all the little kids, right? And they come up here and worship up front. What if somebody tried to stop our children from worshiping? Is there anybody in this room besides me that wouldn't let that happen? Is there anyone in this room that would stand up here and say, no, no, I'll stand for this. I am not going to stop what the children are doing. Yeah, this room is full of you, because you're created by God to make a difference in this world, to stand for something. I'm going to stand. No matter what comes my way, I'm going to stand for Him. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and I'll not deny Him. I'll not hinder people from coming to Him. I will open the doors wide. Anyone comes to Him. You see, and I'm not the only one. Y'all would all do that. If somebody came in here, I guarantee you he'd have to kill about all of us to get to our kids, because that's who you are. Do you know that you were created to live for a purpose? I know we were singing that song about breath. Every breath I... Oh, how'd that song go? How's that verse go, Jennifer? Yeah. I give Him every breath I breathe. Do you know that's what you were created for? And until you get there, you'll never be happy. Money won't fill that need. There's only one thing that'll fill that need. And the truth is, all of us are called to that. Every one of us have a part to play. Maybe you're not supposed to be up here leading us in worship, or you're not supposed to be preaching about money or healing or whatever, but you have a part to play. Your part is just as important as everybody else's part. So today I want to start a new day. I want to tell you, what is the purpose? Why do we exist? Why does Grace Fellowship exist? And this is what happened in my life, and it's taken 40 years for me to be able to articulate it. but it's been the same since day one. Romans 1:16, you guys probably know this verse. Grace fellowship exists to share the good news. Now, I want to define what the good news is. Because, okay, here's the verse that God gave me back 40-something years ago. Romans 1:16. I'm 24 years old, totally changing my life. God totally changed my life. And this verse hits me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. And then the Apostle Paul, he said this, he made this radical, absolute statement. Because the gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. And I'm like, listen, if it's true, it's from God. And if it's from God, it's true. And I came to Jesus that way. I believe Scripture. So God, that Scripture tells me that if you believe the gospel, it'll release the power of God in your life. Now, I was a very conservative evangelical, and I knew that the way to get saved, that was the term we would use, here's how you get saved. You believe the gospel and you will be saved. And nothing can stop you and your life will change. And I experienced that. And no one could ever take that away from me. No one could ever talk me out of it. Now, I'm also a very black and white realist. So I give my life to God. I'm going to be a pastor. I have to go to a Bible college. And I have to start dressing nice and stuff. Camille was making fun of me this morning because I had to ask my older sister what matches, because I didn't know, because you go to this fancy college, you got to wear slacks and shirts, and I didn't even know how to match colors, still don't. Jeannie picks my colors every Sunday. If I ever don't match, it's her, not me. And so I memorized what shirt went with what pants. And then I remember a few years later when I had this revelation that you can actually mix and match stuff. I was like, what? I didn't know that. I thought you could only wear this with this. But I don't think that anymore. And so it's just really true. I go to this college. I'm going to be a pastor. Because if that's what changes the world, is the gospel, then I'm in. Because my world needed changing. I got saved. You know what's funny? I got saved and I changed, but there was still a lot in me that wasn't changed. Then I start hanging around with religious people and find out that they dress good on Sunday, but they don't look so good on Monday or Friday night. But then they look good on Sunday again. And then I found out that I still had issues. Even after I got saved, I had issues that no matter what, I couldn't make them stop. My self-effort, my discipline, my following protocol and rules and regulations couldn't make my issues go away. You know what? You got issues. The world has issues. Whether you're a believer or not a believer, you still have issues. So do I. The guy sitting next to you right now, they have issues too. You see, the gospel is the power of God to deal with your issues. I believe that in my heart. I just didn't see it happening. Matter of fact, I found out after 40 years, I've been in church 40 years, and I'm not a deconstructionist. I think that's just the dumbest thing in the world. I tell you what, though, there is something needs to change. Because the truth is, God created you to be the answer for every issue the world has. For your own and your neighbors. And you all know that. Y'all go out there. You're out there. You have friends. You're at work. You talk to people. Listen, people have stuff. Everybody who's a parent has stuff. They've got children. And their children have issues. And how do you fix them? How do you take care of this? How do I deal with this addiction? How do I deal with this depression? How do I deal with this bondage to caring what people think about me? I mean, how come when we worship, we're not worshiping really like God is God? We worry about what people are thinking. We worry about other stuff. We have issues, guys. We all have issues. And you were created for issues. The problems in this world is what we were created for. You were created for that. It's what we do. You were created to lead these children to Christ. You were created to create an atmosphere that the chains would fall off of people in bondage and brokenness and all this stuff. And so I had a problem, though. When I went to that Bible college, guess what I found out? The students in that college had the same problems as the students in the colleges I went to. Before I went to that college, they were just hidden. They looked good, but there was just as much premarital stuff going on there as there was at the state schools. And there was as much bondage, there was as much brokenness, there was anger, there was jealousy, there was all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, well, God. And then as it goes on, I'm pastoring and people come to me with issues. When they finally would, because most wouldn't, because you can't let anybody know you've got an issue. You know, because you're the only one in here that has an issue. Yeah, Harvey's laughing because he's older than you guys. He knows you've all got issues. He can even tell a lot of us what our issues are. Thanks, Harvey. You know, it's just true. We have problems. We have bondages. We have brokenness. We have hurts. We have wounds. We have stuff from our past that's still affecting our lives. We have issues. And do you know what the power of God is? The answer for your problem is the gospel. Now, I looked up that word gospel, euangelion or something in Greek. It literally means good news. So, New Living Translation, they say good news. For I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. This good news about Christ is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. And we watered down the word saving in Greek, in the Hebrew world and in the Greek world, in the Jewish world. Salvation was everything. It wasn't just, matter of fact, it had nothing to do with what the future was. Salvation was what I need now. I need salvation for my anger. I need salvation for my addiction. I need salvation for my broken relationships. I need salvation for my broken body. Now. And you know what? How come we put it off in the future, guys? We do. Now, I couldn't do it because I believe the Bible. So here I am stuck in this religious world that I was raising, I was a part of it. Here I am stuck caring for people. Don't you love people? Don't you have anybody you love, like family, friend? You know, you love people, and they have problems. And they tell you their problems. And there's only one answer. Listen, if it's in the Bible, it's true. And if it's true, it's in the Bible. God is truth. Jesus is truth. So guys, there's this deal. I have this thing in my mind that I'm stuck on, this verse, but I don't see it happening. I see people that love Jesus, lots and lots of people that love Jesus that have the same issues that the people in that don't even know him have. I'm like, God, I don't get it. And then sincere people that are suffering emotional disorders, whatever. It's like 1,000 things. And they don't have. You think that people who've lost their children, you think they did that on purpose because they wanted to? Nope. Do you think people who have broken relationships and have been through marriages and marriages and marriages, you think they wanted to break, have a you think people want to argue and fight and, no. Do you think people want to have gray hair? No, we don't want to have gray hair. We want to be 30 again. We have issues, but what does God do? He's the answer for all of them. Now, my problem was it wasn't happening. I didn't know why it wasn't happening. And you know, part of it was this thing. We got this idea that what God wanted to happen in our lives was put off into the future somewhere. We do. You know, well, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. If you're a Baptist, you know that song. It's a great song. It's peppy. I liked it. I didn't know it was bringing the devil into my life because I believed that I had to wait to heaven to love people. I had to wait to heaven to be loved. I had to wait to heaven to be free. I had to wait to heaven. And then I did this crazy thing. Have y'all ever read the Bible? There's a cool thing in the Bible. They call it the Lord's Prayer. You know, I got so embarrassed when I was in college. I was a captain of the offensive line in our football team. And the coach, you know, all these crazy pagan football players, which I was one of them, before every game, he made us say the Lord's Prayer. And he'd call on a different person to lead it every before every game. And, you know, I'm just there. And, you know, you're wearing all your uniform and your helmet and your pads, and I'm angry. I'm always angry. And I don't even like, don't touch me. Don't touch me. I was like, I was bad, dude. And coach said, Alford, lead us in the prayer. And I went, I don't know the prayer. Well, my roommate was standing beside me. He was Catholic. I knew that he knew the prayer. So I said, Dennis, I don't know it. And he said, Our Father. I said, Our Father. Tried to act like I knew it. Who art in heaven? Who art in heaven? Hallowed. I don't know what hallowed is, but I said, Hallowed it be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. Uh-oh. What did Jesus say? Have y'all ignored that? Think about Scripture when you read it. When we all get to heaven, we'll all rejoice because we'll all be okay. Jesus said, pray that what's happening in heaven will happen on earth today. That's what salvation is. It's not something put off into the future. It's the reality of God's purpose for our lives happening here. So we pray for healing and we expect people to be healed. We pray for deliverance. We expect for chains to be broken. You know, you don't have to live with depression, anxiety, heartburn. I don't know why I said that. It's just, quit eating that junk you're eating. You won't have as much heartburn, maybe. I don't know. But we don't have to live there. Jesus said, here's what you pray. And Jesus was right. He was true. He is the truth. And if he said, pray and ask the Father that what's being done in heaven in your life right now, which is heaven, will happen while you're on earth, you don't have to wait till you get to heaven. Guys, that was the biggest lie the enemy's ever fed us as evangelicals. We all believe we have to wait till we get to heaven. You don't have to wait. You don't have to be disappointed. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to be resentful. You don't have to carry a Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. And that means he carries our burdens. It's easy and it's light. Guys, the good news. You know what changes the world? The good news. And it's good news. You know why it's good news? Here, I'll tell you why. This is so smart. I didn't come up with this. I heard it. Good news is good news because it's good. It's good. Is what you're hearing, what you hear when you read the Bible, what you think about yourself and God, is it good? Is it good? Or are you scared and you worried about punishment and you worried about an angry God and you worried about you did too much? Or God, you know, we just sang a song. And that was a new song, Jennifer. I don't know what the song was, but it's like we know his hands are blessing. That's good news. Well, I'm not getting blessed. Well, he wants to bless you. Because that's what he lives for. It's good news. Well, listen, it's already happened. You know what news is besides good? It's already happened. He's already done it. He's already sanctified you. He's already forgiven you for your sin. He's already provided a way for you to have a, be one with him and one with each other. He's already provided everything we need. We're just not writing checks on the check account because we don't believe it. Because if you don't believe it, you know, we didn't get saved until we believed. We believe what? Oh, grace. So here, I want to show you because I just want to go into this. I'm going to hit this hard, guys. This year, this is about our vision, because I want to see the world changed, and the world is changed by the good news, not the bad news, not threats. Good news. I have good news for you. Jesus loves you. I have good news for you. God has prepared a way for you. I have good news for you. He's going to be with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. I have good news for you. When you have an issue and you take it to him, he will respond. Nothing in this world is above or beyond what he does for you. Nothing. I have good news for you. Yeah, but I've been horrible my whole life. I have good news. Today's a new day. Jesus is, his arms are open wide. He's not pushing you out. He's inviting you in. And guys, this is something that I have good news. And we're going to talk about this. So we exist to share the good news. And it's about Christ. We're going to talk about what is the good news? What is it? The gospel. You know, when you look at this, because we do. Our world, guys, I don't know about you. If you have your eyes open, our world, we need change. There are things in my life that need to be changed. There are things in my family that needs changed. We need real change. See, I wasn't satisfied with not real change. Don't give me gobbledygook. Don't give me that. Give me, I mean, no, I like speaking in tongues, but don't give me flowery words and all this eloquence. Don't give me all that. I want real change. Don't come and tell me that someone's addicted to porn and I want to see that addiction broke. I don't want to see them try harder or take drugs. I want to see them free. And that happens through the gospel, through good news, not bad news. And guys, I believe God has created us because you know what's going to happen to you today or tomorrow or this week? You're going to run into somewhere in your life where you need something or somebody you love needs something. And Paul said, here's where the power of God is, guys. It's right here. And we'll put it in 1,000 other places, but the scripture says it's here. It's in the good news. Well, so what is the good news? I know the good news. The good news is love. No. Let's look at what the Bible says about it, because we need real change. Our families need change. The person sitting next to you needs change. And somebody will come up to you and ask you and give you an opportunity to tell them. When they tell you your problems, you know what they're asking? For help. And you know what you'll do? I just saw this week. And if you're one of these people, I think, I love you and I think you're doing great. I have more than one friend who are big Raylana people. Y'all know what Raylana is? Raylanas? They sell children's clothes like over and over again. I guess they're, yeah, they're like a garage sale, but it's like a special place. And it's huge. Thousands of women are a part of, they work there. And I saw my friends had a picture of themselves with all the crew at Raylana's in Conway. There's hundreds of women, and you know what Raylana's promises you? Family, love, joy, money. It promises to fix all of your problems. And they're all a part of the Raylana team. And I'm like, uh-oh. I don't mean that. I could talk about racing go-karts. If you race go-karts, that's not going to be the thing that's going to bring you joy in life. And neither is working at Raylana's. You know what brings you joy? The good news. And it's the There's only one. There's not two gospels. There's not three. You and I have been taught 1,000 different things, and we don't realize there's only one. There's only one gospel. It's a big deal. Paul talked about this in Galatians, right? Y'all know this book, this little letter, Galatians chapter 1. Paul said, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. He just defined the good news. Gospel. They put gospel here, that's good news. How did he define it? What is the good news according to Paul the Apostle? The grace of Christ. The grace of Christ. Well, wait, I thought I had to do something. You get to believe in what he did. That's the good news. You don't have to do anything. Jesus paid it all. His blood cleansed your sin. His blood made you a part of his family. His blood made us one. His blood provided the future for us and everything else, and we get to believe it. And people would come into the Galatians after they had heard about the grace of Christ, these Jewish believers who had spent their whole lives, because you know what religion says? You've got to do something to get something. You know what Jesus said? I did it all, and I want to give it to you. You see, that's the good news. The good news, and that's not just for eternity in the future. Jesus said it's for now, but do we believe him? Everything in your life, every area, comes from that one thing, the grace of God. What Jesus did, what he said, what he accomplished becomes a part of our life. You know, this has driven me crazy for years. Because as a pastor, you know what I want to do? I want to do what will help you guys. For 40 years, thousands of people have come through here. I want to help you. I want you to be happy. I want you to have a good relationship. I want you to be successful in every area of your life. And I've searched and searched and searched for what is it that's going to guarantee. You know, I thought of it this way, and it may not make sense to you, but what's the secret sauce to life? You know, what's the secret formula that Coca-Cola has? They guard that with their lives, right? There's a secret formula, but the formula is what he did for us. It's not what we need to do for him. But religion says you've got to do something to get something. Religion says if you do something bad, you're going to get bad. If you do good, you're going to get good. Jesus said, I'm good. Come to me. You mean blessings come just like that? Yeah. You see, guys, we were brought up in this legalistic, judicial world we live in where you get what you deserve and you don't get what you don't deserve. That isn't God. He's a covenant-making God. He made a covenant with us, and he did it all. He provided the sacrifice. It was his blood. It wasn't anything we did. And, guys, somehow we grasped a hold of that for salvation. We missed it for life. And so for most of us, in some areas of our life, our lives are just going to hell in a handbasket because we've been trying to do it ourselves instead of living by faith. And God, everybody needs this gospel. The people who already are following Jesus need it, and the people who've never followed him need it. They need the gospel. They need the good news that it's all been provided for. It's all been done. Now you believe. You're good. I made you good. I gave the Holy Spirit to you. I've arranged your life. I'm in charge of your future and your destiny. Trust me. You're good. You're better than you've been. Maybe you aren't acting right. Well, it's not because you're bad. It's because you haven't embraced this yet. Guys, I'm excited about this year. And I'm going to dissect this thing. I'm going to hit it because we have done this crazy thing, and it's what humans do. If we hear something over and over and over and over and over and over again, it's true. And it won't come down in one day because we're Americans. We're used to working for what we get. Matter of fact, we even call you names if you don't work for what you get, right? And then Jesus came and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. And it's not just for heaven. It's how you will experience life on earth. So we're going to talk about this in great detail. You know, it is good news. And if it's God, it's true. And if it's true, it's from God. I believe that with all my heart. And here's what happened to us. How many of you guys have heard this, that if you receive an email or a text from somebody you don't know, and they're asking you to click on it, click on something, or to go to this website, or they may be asking you for information about yourself, personal information like your checking account or your birthday, your social security number. You know, if you get an email like that, but you know what's funny is I've read some of these emails. They're amazing because they have a lot of truth. They'll give you 10 things true they already know about you. They'll sound like they really are the bank, or they really are your credit card, or they really are somebody. It'll sound that way, but then there's this one little thing that's not true. And we all know, do not give them your information. Do not send them money. Don't click on that. You get an email and it looks weird. Do not click on whatever. I don't know what happens when you click on it, but it's not good. It'll put a virus in your computer, and you're going to have to pay them a lot of money to get that virus out of your computer. It's going to be bad. So you know what the enemy's done? He's taken all of us who've come to Jesus by grace, through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. He's taken all of us, and we started with grace, and then he's made this really eloquent picture of, now let's keep on through our own self-effort. Let's doubt. Jesus says that you're holy. Let's doubt that you're holy. Jesus said he's going to provide for you. Let's doubt that he'll provide for you. Jesus said that he's going to make you a part of his family. Let's doubt that. Jesus said you're a son of God, that you're seated in heaven on a throne, ruling and reigning with him right now. Just put a little doubt. Well, you don't look like you're doing that. You know, remember when Jesus, and I think it's time for a promotion for all of us. When Jesus went and got his big promotion when he was 30 years old, he went to the Jordan River and was baptized by his cousin John. And then after that, the Spirit led him into the desert to fast for 40 days. And in the desert, the most horrible, most effective temptation you could ever imagine happened to Jesus. The devil came up to him and said, Jesus. Now he's fasting for 40 days. He's hungry. And he said, Jesus, see that stone right there? Command it to be bread. And you know what? All he was doing was said, Jesus, instead of you trusting the grace of God, you do it. You meet your own needs. Matter of fact, Jesus, if you really are the Son of God, what did the devil do? Put doubt in his mind. You see what happens to us when we hit hard times? We doubt. We start questioning, will the bill get paid? Will I be okay? Will you take care of my relationships? Will you change the person I love? Will you change me? Can I ever be free from this? All of these doubts come in your mind, and the whole time God is saying, I love you. I'm your dad. I've got a hand just wanting to bless you. Trust me. Trust me. But you know what? Do you think it was hard for Jesus? Was he hungry? Yes, he was super hungry. And could he command that stone to become bread? Yes, he could. But if he did, he would have been doubting who he was. Because Satan said to him, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, make this stone become bread. You see, when we doubt, and you know we always doubt when circumstances happen. So I'm going to tell you, some of you right now are in a circumstance and you're doubting. I mean, we're all fighting battles. We're fighting battles for physical health. We're fighting battles for people we love. We don't know what to do about this or that. And the science has become our God. A lot of things have become our gods. And it makes us doubt the promise of God. The promise of God is He'll take care of you. He'll provide for you. He will lead you. And He has plans for you, plans to prosper you and to bless you. But this life happens. And what's God doing? He's wanting to give you a promotion, because when you begin, you have the opportunity to doubt. If you say no to that and you say, I'm His favorite. Yeah, but you're starving. I'm His favorite. Yeah, but you don't have any food. I am His child. And I believe. You see, that's what Paul said. Believe. Believe the good news. And salvation comes. So next time I talk, I want to talk about salvation, because we have such, our understanding of salvation is about this big. The Hebrew Jewish understanding of salvation is everything. And I want to show you guys that, okay? So this morning, let's all stand up. I did pretty good, guys. I've been working on this for 40 years, and we did it in 30 minutes, sort of. You lost your baby? I didn't say that. Erase that off the tape. We don't want anybody to hear that Amy lost her baby. DHS will be showing up, and they're like, no. Okay, so this is serious. It is serious. If you're facing one of those times in your life where doubt is trying to come in, you remember what happened to Jesus? He didn't give in to Satan. He said, no, I know who I am. I know who I am. I am the Son of God, and I don't have to prove it to you. And you know what? The angels came. The angels came. Some of you need an angel to come. The angels came and took care of His needs. He had physical needs. This wasn't spiritual stuff. But because he trusted his dad and he believed who he was, angels came and ministered to his body. Tell you what, guys, we need that. The problems that you face and your friends face, you need supernatural help. Trust him. Trust him that he loves you, that what Jesus said is true. There's only one gospel, and you don't have to do it. It's all grace. It's all grace. Jesus already did it. Now you get to believe. So, Father, I just ask this morning that we would all be able to, God, that we would all be able to experience the bread that only you can give. Lord, that we would not depend on the world or ourselves or anything else, God. We trust you for our bread. And God, when our neighbors come, Lord, when they come and they're hungry and they've got guests and they're hungry, that we would have bread to give them. That God, we'd give them the same bread that gives us food. We'd give them the good news. That you've already done it for them. That you were there before it ever happened. So God, I ask today that I just feel like some of us really are at that place where we need bread. You can trust your dad. You can stop fretting, stop believing the enemy. You can trust your dad for the bread you need. So we're going to have ministry teams up here and that would love to pray with you. And it's a big deal. He wants to give to you this morning, okay? So God, I just thank you for today. I thank you for this new year. God, I thank you that you have helped me see that our purpose is to share good news. That's the whole That's how everything, your power gets released in the world, is when we share the good news. So God, we say yes to you. And God, I thank you for what you're doing today and what's on your mind. Just thank you, King. Amen. So if you would like to pray about some of that, these guys are up here to pray with you. And Emsley will probably help them, okay? So God bless you guys. Thanks for coming.